Greetings, friends. Welcome to St. David's Cathedral, Hobart. Whether you're on the phone or Facebook, YouTube, or you're connecting in some other way, we all come to listen to God's word to bring our concerns before Him and grow in living faith, profound hope, and practical love. My name is Richard Humphrey. I'm the Dean here, and I'll be preaching and leading the service with the assistance of Katrina Johnson. Katrina Timms, Children's Chaplain at the Royal Hobart Hospital, will be our reader, and the Reverend Chris Duff, the pastor of Salt Church Plant in Brighton, will lead our prayers. Today we're in the southwest corner of the cathedral, next to the window to the relatively obscure St. Bryce. I really don't know why we have a window to this obscure figure from the 4th century of church history, but in the corner of his image there is a little devil. He was someone who struggled and had to triumph over temptation, get over his past life to be a servant of Jesus. In our reading from 1 Peter 4, we will be encouraged to put our past life behind us, to not listen to those voices, not go back to live like that, but to live the way that God has called us to. We pray that this service will help you to live this out. We do so on the Sunday after Ascension, when we remember that Jesus now sits at the right hand of God and that in Him we have eternal life. This is eternal life, that we may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. As it's the last Sunday of Easter, for the last time this year, Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, we come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building up of His church. We will lift our hearts in thanks and praise, hear from His holy word, and pray for this world and for ourselves. The Bible tells us to approach God confidently through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we do so, we must confess our sins, seeking forgiveness through God's boundless goodness and mercy. The risen Jesus said that the scriptures had been fulfilled in His suffering and resurrection, and now repentance and forgiveness was to be announced in His name to all nations in the power of the Spirit. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. God of all mercy, we humbly admit that we need Your help. We have wandered from Your way. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us, wipe out our sins, and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of Your Spirit, that we may live the new life to Your glory. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to His call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Grace and peace be with you. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Shout to the rock of our salvation. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His face with songs of joy. As we come to hear God's word read, Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding. As we listen to Your word, may we know You better, love You more, and learn to please You in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For they have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but living according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord. For the Gospel of the Lord, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
What time do you call this? Perhaps these words were said to you in your younger years. You've come home from having the time of your life only to find mum or dad waiting for you when you come in, presenting you with this question as you are called to account for the use of your time. We may have shrugged that question off then, but as we get older or when we're faced with a crisis, what we do with our time becomes more pressing. Psalm 90 says, "Teach us so to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The time of our life is limited." Our reading from 1 Peter 4 presents us with some serious questions about what are we going to do with the time of our life. The fact that our reading starts with speaking about suffering points to the seriousness of Peter's appeal. The believer's attitude to sin should be the same as that of Jesus. Patient endurance in suffering for doing good. That much is clear. Peter's next statement is a little harder to work out. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has finished with sin. The point seems to be, having suffered for doing good, why would you now sin, which makes your suffering pointless? You've passed the test. Why fail now? It would be like an athlete going through all the pain necessary to qualify for the Olympic Games and then before the event stop training and going back to old bad ways. The sweat and effort would have been in vain. Likewise, if you have suffered for Jesus as Lord, then you will want to live with him as Lord and not turn back. Our experience may be different to theirs. We may not be about to face the full force of Roman persecution. But it is when we go through challenges and trials because of our faith that we are strengthened in our discipleship, We've come this far, so keep going. This brings us to what I see as the heart of this passage. If we are determined to have the same attitude as that of Christ, to be like Jesus, then we will seek to live the rest of our life no longer following human desires, but the will of God. The language here is pretty serious. It's literally the rest of your time in the flesh. It's a kind of a resting till death do us part kind of statement. It's a question of what are you going to do with the remaining time of your life? Peter will go on to say that for the rest of your time, stop wasting your time in verses 3 to 6 and spend your time doing God's will in verses 7 to 11, giving us a two-point sermon. But before we go on, we should take some time to ask whether we want to live the rest of our lives following the will of God. It is not only Peter who encourages us to do this. Paul, at the end of his theological argument in Romans, says that as living sacrifices, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God. To live out God's will is what God's word calls us to. But do we think enough about spending our time doing this? This is the question at the heart of this passage. What time do you call this? As followers of Jesus, it's time to do God's will. Peter tells his readers that as they consider their remaining time, they have wasted enough time already. He goes on to list a pretty impressive carousing lifestyle, all derived from following human desires. It's hard to know if this is how his readers used to live all the time. It sounds a bit exhausting, but that is not Peter's point. Rather, this is not how they are to live now, any part of it. There is to be a total break with that way of living. Many have found during the changes we have seen in our society that some of the ways they used to live were a waste of time, and they've found a better use for their time, investing in family and useful pursuits. The test will be when the restrictions end, and with them the pull of the old way of life with its time pressures and practices. Come on, friends will say, let's get back to really living. That is the kind of situation that Peter is thinking of, but not something caused by a virus, but a vital change in living, in following Jesus as Lord. Peter says, despite the appeals, do not follow your old ways, despite the voices saying, come on. Let what has happened be truly life-changing. And Peter's reasoning is deadly serious. Do not waste your time, for a time will come when we will have to give an account to him who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. This is a phrase that we say week by week in our creed, but do we really think how serious this is? Can we think of anyone who doesn't fall into these categories of living or dead? Time may mean we move from one to the other, but regardless, we will all have to face Jesus and give an account of our time. Judgment time is coming to us all. Christians may face it with hope because Jesus died to bring us to God, but it is still a sobering thought. This helps us, I think, understand the very tricky verse 6. Christians may have been mocked for believing in the resurrection and living the way they did because they died like everyone else. Peter is saying that those who heard the gospel when they were alive and responded, although having died, now live in the Spirit, in God's kingdom. Despite suffering death, the universal judgment on sin, their faithful life following Jesus will be vindicated. It is worth living following God's will. So, where have you wasted time on things not of God's will? What will you do with the rest of your earthly time? Peter then gives his answer to what time do you call this? This is the end time. The end of all things is near. Back in chapter 1, Peter said that the raising of Jesus in glory means that these are the last times. It is appropriate on this Sunday after Ascension to be reminded that with Jesus having taken his place at the right hand of God, all that remains in God's purposes is for Jesus to return and bring God's kingdom in. It's another sobering thought in an already serious passage. It's not a surprise then that Peter says that rather than dissipation, there is to be discipline, not drunkenness, but sobriety, clear-minded and self-controlled, so that we can pray as we ought. If we are not disciplined, we will not pray as we ought, for our time will manage us rather than the other way round. Understanding what time it is will shape our prayers. Remembering that Jesus' return is imminent will lead us to pray with confidence for God's kingdom to come and for God's will, that idea again, to be done on earth and in our lives. We then have a list of what living a life following God's will looks like and the kind of life we should spend time praying for. Firstly, there is to be a constant love or deep love between believers, a love that stretches the giver but also gives some flexibility to the receiver, for love covers a multitude of sins. I have enjoyed hearing great stories of love being shown during these times, practical visits, meals being delivered. This is to live following God's will. And when we do this, it is not just that sins are covered, there is actually less room for them. A church that is racked by gossip and anger has no way to cover sin, but when love starts its healing work, so much sin loses its oxygen and it dies away. I have seen this happen in a church, and it's a beautiful thing, and God's will is being done. But it doesn't just happen. It takes effort and discipline and prayer. In a similar way, we are to practice hospitality. Hospitality was at the heart of the life of the early church, with gatherings in family homes. This may be hard to put into practice in these times of social distancing, but look to your heart. Is there generosity and a willingness to share what God has given you, or is there grumbling, murmuring, and frankly, selfishness? This idea of sharing the good we have is also clear as Peter encourages us to serve each other with the gifts that God has first given us. In school, there are often gifted classes, and we may have wanted to be in one of those classes to be gifted, but this passage tells us that we are all gifted by God, who graciously gives all manner of his manifold gifts. But they are not given to build up our pride, but to serve those alongside. Whatever our gift is, we use it to serve. Peter goes on to say that if it is a speaking gift, it should be as speaking the word of God, a sobering thought for us preachers, and if service, in the power of God. Both are important to serve God's people and bring glory to God. All of us are called to practice love and practice hospitality as we use our time for God's will. But using our gifts is something personal and different for each of us. So to each of you listening, what is your gift? Are you using it to serve others? It's worth wondering, do you pray for yourself and for your community that there will be growth in love, hospitality, and using of gifts to serve each other to the glory of God? What time do you call this? It's time to serve. Peter ends this section with a statement of praise. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. It's not clear if this is said about God, the Father, or Jesus. It seems most naturally here to be about Jesus. So in word and deed, we as his people will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How we spend our time bears witness to the God that we serve. That is God's will. But just as importantly, that is what we were made for. The Westminster Shorter Catechism taught that the chief end of humanity was to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To live out God's will is something truly human. All too often, living the Christian life is seen as something that is a bit inhuman, denying who we truly are, wasting our lives and our time. This is a lie. As we live looking for God's coming kingdom, as we pray, love and be generous, and use our God-given gifts to serve others, we are truly living what Jesus would have called life in abundance. It's a wonderful, beautiful, precious thing, life-changing, life-sharing and life-giving use of our time. What time do you call this? It's time to truly live. As we do so, we will see that we are having the time of our lives, glorifying God in all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we seek to use our time to live God's will in our lives, we need strength, comfort, and hope. We find that in remembering where Jesus now is. So hail the day that sees him rise.
Sees him rise, alleluia, to his throne above the skies, alleluia. Christ of life to mortals give, free ascends his native hand, alleluia.
Together, let us affirm the faith of the Church in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer which Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care, and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Have mercy on the poor and the oppressed. Hear the cry of those in need. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. The Collect for the Day. God of Majesty, you led the Messiah through suffering into risen life and took him up into the glory of heaven. Clothe us with the power promised from on high and send us forth to the ends of the earth as heralds of repentance and witnesses of Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who lives with you now and always in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. In everything give thanks. Father, we give you thanks for your created order. We especially think of how the environment is recovering in the short term at the moment with a lockdown around the world. We give you thanks for a reduction in pollution. We give you thanks for scenes that haven't been seen for decades, like the Himalayas, visible from local towns. Lord, we pray for the nations and the peoples of the earth. We especially pray at this time, Lord, for those nations that do not have the resources that we're fortunate to have here in Australia. You've blessed us with wonderful medical facilities and excellent communication and lots of wealth. But we know, Lord, there are places around the world that don't have access to these resources. We pray, Father, that you'd be bringing peace to those places, that you'd bring sufficient food and water and facilities that are needed, especially at this time of COVID-19. We ask, Father, you'd help us as nations and as individuals to support and care those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Lord, we pray for those who are in authority in this land, for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and for our Premier, Peter Goodwin. We thank you for their leadership through this time, and we ask that you would give them good rest, that you would give them wisdom, and that there'd be excellent advice given, both medically, politically, and in our community, as we head through this difficult and challenging time together. Father, we pray for the church and for our leaders. We especially thank you for Bishop Richard. We pray that he'd be getting rest at this time and that you'd continue to inspire him as he creatively and industriously works for the gospel in this state of ours. We pray for local ministers who are thinking and trying to be creative in how they reach those that they're pastoring and also how they reach their community. Finally, Father, we pray for those who are in need, and there are many in this category, Lord. We ask for your graciousness and care, and especially think of many hundreds of thousands of Australians who have lost their jobs recently. And we ask, Lord, as we see the economic challenges facing the world that will start to trickle down and filter down in our communities, that we will have the resources and the ways of caring for people. And even if we only have to share the gospel, Lord, that you would inspire that and make it powerful and life-changing for those who encounter it. Father, be across our nation and care for them and bless them. Father, we ask that you would hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, you have given us grace to agree in these our prayers. And you have promised that when two or three ask together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, Lord, our desires and prayers as may be best for us. Grant us in this life knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life eternal. Amen.
What time do you call this? It's time for the service to come to a close. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. We pray that this service will have been worth your time. As you think deeply about how you spend the time remaining to you, that you will seek to stop wasting time and live out God's will. If you'd like to know more about anything that you've heard today or how to be a follower of Jesus, how to live out God's will, we'd love to help. There are courses both online and, as restrictions ease, in person to explore the Christian faith and follow Jesus. You can find the details at anglicantas.org.au or on our website, stdavids.org.au. There you will also find information about our live stream daily prayer services, noon prayer and Sunday evening prayer. You'd be welcome to join us this evening at 5:30 or watch it later when you have the time. From this time on, may we above all things live in love, practice hospitality, using our gifts in the service of God's people, and as our window reminds us, to the glory of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine.